All right, welcome back to The Whistle. I'm Jackson James. Let's not waste any time, and let's start with our playoff predictions. I think this is going to be a crazy postseason. I actually cannot wait to see it. I think it's going to be very action-packed. I think a lot of long series and a potential for a dark horse to go on a run. So let's hop into it with the first matchup being in the West. We'll start with the one seed Thunder going up against either the Pelicans or the Kings. That game's in action right now. I'm assuming the Pelicans are going to win because they were leading the last time I checked, and they have the better upside. Now, assuming Zion Williamson is going to miss time, I think this is a pretty clear-cut series. But I think the Pelicans could steal one game at least from OKC. They can win at home. I don't think it'll be a sweep. If anything, it'll be a five, maybe even six. If it goes six, that's a huge accomplishment for the Pelicans, especially without Zion. If Zion comes back, this could be a seven-game series. But if he's not going to be 100%, then what's the point necessarily? Because he's a very physical and athletic player. He uses his verticality, especially when attacking the paint. And so if he's not 100% and he lacks in that angle of his game, it's not going to be pretty for the Pelicans, at least when he's in the game. Now, if Brandon Ingram can get back in full stride and really lift the load that Zion is, you know, leaving by not being available, like I said, they could steal a game or two, but I'm going to have to go with the Thunder in five games. I think they're going to be well-rested. They're going to win game one, which is huge in terms of winning a series. And I think all they have to do is steal one road game, in which I think they will do. And I think SGA is going to be very productive in this series. I think Josh Giddey might have continuous hot streak as he was towards the end of the season. He wasn't necessarily a liability anymore like he was for, I would say, the majority of the season. And then you have Chet Holmgren, which is kind of a mismatch with anybody on the Pelicans' side. You know, you do have Valanciunas over there, but can he necessarily lock up Chet? I think there's a lot of mismatches. The Thunder are more deep, and so that's why I have the Thunder in five. Going on to my favorite series, I might be a little biased, but it's the Dallas Mavericks versus the Los Angeles Clippers. And the status of Kawhi is very unknown at this point, and that obviously benefits the Mavericks. Even if he plays game one, he's not going to be 100%, because if he was 100%, I feel like we would know that by now. So what does that mean? That means I'm picking the Mavericks in six games. And look, you're saying, what, you're biased? No, I think everyone is low-key kind of picking the Mavs on this one. It's their favorite to win the series, I think. And they have the best player, and they probably have, you know, the top two players. If you rank all 10, they have two of the top three. So, you know, I'm really excited to see Kyrie Irving in his first playoff action as a Maverick. We know Luka is a great playoff performer, but how will Kyrie kind of reestablish himself as that second guy? I know there was Brooklyn, and they were successful in Brooklyn, but he went down with an injury, and then his last year, technically his last postseason with Brooklyn, he was very unsuccessful getting swept by the Celtics. That Celtics team was just completely better, and KD did not play well in that series, but that's a different problem. Here's why the Mavericks, I think, can beat the Clippers. They have an unguardable player, and they have better defense this year. Look, Kawhi is a beast, and if Kawhi is good offensively, this is why this one goes seven. But in my mind, it goes six, because I think he misses a game, and the Mavericks are able to steal a game, therefore. And so, I think with the matchup of Luka and Kyrie on the floor, who are going to play probably an average of 40 to 42 minutes a game, just because starters play more minutes in the postseason, and I think PJ Washington is going to get a lot of open looks, and if he can hit his threes, there's no one that's going to stop this team. But I think he could struggle a little bit, and that's why I think this one's going a little bit six. And you have guys like Derrick Jones Jr. and Adante Exum, who have proven they can shoot well from three in games, but Derrick Jones Jr. shooting 35% from the field, and Adante Exum is shooting 50%. He's a guy, but his volume is low. And so, you know, you have your closing lineup of Luka, Kyrie, Exum, PJ Washington, and Derrick Jones Jr. And sometimes you sub out Derrick Jones Jr. for Maxi Kleba. I think they have a great closing lineup. In contrast to the Clippers, you know, you got Kawhi, PG, Harden. Sometimes they bring Russ in and Terrence Mann and a couple of other guys in that mix. But I don't think, other than Kawhi, do you trust Paul George to hit the shot? He's been a very good player this season, and he's had a couple of clutch moments, but do you trust him over a guy Like, is he going to make the clutch play of the game over a Luka or a Kyrie? I don't necessarily see that happening in this series. I don't think we're going to see any necessarily nail biters. I think all of these will be decided with 2 minutes left on the clock. One of the teams will be up 10, and we'll get most of the games like that in this series. And I could see the prospect of the Mavs shooting their way to win this series, but I could also see themselves shooting themselves out of this series. But that's why I have the Mavericks in the sixth spot, just because I feel like they can rely on their defense a little bit more. Going on to the third series, the Timberwolves versus the Suns. I've been watching a lot of stuff on this series, and it's like everyone's picking the Suns because they're a great matchup or a horrible matchup for the Timberwolves. Like, the Timberwolves are much of an interior defensive team, and yet the Suns can shoot the lights out of the ball, and that's why I'm going to have the Suns winning this series in a hard-fought seven games. It's the first seven-game series we're going to have in this one, and here's why. I think that's true, but then they also lack on the defensive interior side. And so I think if Karl-Anthony Towns can come back healthy, or I know he's back healthy, but can he perform healthy? That's another big difference. Rudy Gobert could have a big series as well, potentially in the paint. And then it's going to be all on Anthony Edwards, I think. Truthfully, I think it's going to be all on Anthony Edwards offensively. Does he take that leap in the postseason? A lot of people are like, We could see it. I need to be shown it. That's why I'm picking against him. I don't think he's that good of a shooter. He's a good scorer, not that great of a shooter. So that's why I have the Suns winning in seven. Could be six, but I'm going to pick a bad game from Kevin Durant. And that's when the Timberwolves steal one and a couple of ones. So that's why seven. I think this one could go either way in that game seven. But I think the Suns have proven playoff players in KD and Booker to win that game. Yes, game seven, then Booker might be a little bit of a uh-oh, but I think he'll step up to the plate because he knows he has to. And I think having Kevin Durant on that team as a leadership guy in terms of, hey, we got to go ball out tonight, I got you. They didn't have that, you know, when they played Dallas in that seven-game series. Booker was the guy. He's not necessarily the guy now. He can still be your alpha offensive leader and go get you 50 points. But now having KD, a proven guy that has been to multiple NBA finals, 1-2, is a league MVP, I think that's going to show in this series. And finishing off, we have the Nuggets versus the Clippers. I think this is a four-game sweep in the Nuggets' favor. I don't think it's fairly close because they are just a machine offensively with Jokic at the center. You know, AD could potentially stop him. Maybe they steal a game. If they steal two, I'd be shocked. I think Denver's just a completely better team, and LA has to be reliant on D'Angelo Russell, who has struggled in the postseason, and a bunch of role players that haven't necessarily proven themselves yet. And so I think this one is a sweep. LeBron gets swept again, and potentially does he move off to another team in the offseason? I'll be interested to see that one as we transition into the East, as we're doing the first round matchups first, and then we'll go to the second round matchups. We have the Celtics versus the Heat. This one is a very interesting matchup. You know, the Heat, without Jimmy Butler, do they really necessarily stand a chance? And I don't think so. I think this Boston team, what makes them different than last year, is they are deeper and they have Kristaps Porzingis, which is just a matchup nightmare for teams. Because all he has to do now is just be a stretch big. He doesn't have to go in the post and score. He can if you want to necessarily look at those matchups that way defensively. But I think with Tatum and Brown really being your driving forces offensively, kick it out to the corner to Drew Holiday, who's been dynamite in the corner this season, or pass it up top of the key to KP for a three-pointer or a mid-range jumper. I think that one's going to be massively hard for the Heat to guard defensively because I don't think they have size on that team. They do have Bam Adebayo, but if you pull him out of the paint, Tatum and Brown are just going to drive and blow by their man. And then defensively, I think you could potentially have a guy in Drew Holiday guarding, you know, if Jimmy Butler comes back, does he neutralize him because if he's injured, or does he lock up a guy like Tyler Hero? Who do the Heat go through offensively to beat the Celtics? I think this one is a sweep in the Celtics way. I think they're going to have rest is huge in this because Miami's going to have to, they have one day to rest and then they have to play game one. And then they're really going on with the series, and I just don't think it'll be fairly close. The Celtics in foe. Going on to probably the most slept-on matchup this postseason, the Cavs versus the Magic, 4 versus the 5, and versus the other one on the other side. It's the most intriguing matchup, potentially. This one is probably the least interesting, but I think it's also, you know, the one that could change the NBA next season. If the Cavs lose, does Donovan Mitchell force himself out like he did Utah? If, you know, the Cavs win, you know, do the Magic potentially sign a big free agent and a guy like Paul George or Klay Thompson because they need that veteran shooting. I think this one is going to go to the Cavs. I was thinking Magic. I was really thinking about picking the Magic because they are great defensively. But it's the similar issue with the Minnesota Timberwolves, in which Paolo Banchero is a beast, but he struggles from three, and he's not that good of a shooter. So what does that mean to me? That means that the Cavs, who have postseason experience after last year, absolutely, you know, just not showing up whatsoever. They even said the lights were too bright for them, which is just crazy. I think the Cavs will bounce back. They have something to prove this season. Yes, they have to play the Celtics in round two, but I'll take them in a solid six games here. I think it's a really, you know, not a close six games. I think the Cavs potentially could blow a game here or there. Maybe the Magic upset them in game one. But I'll be interested to see how the Cavs really pronounce themselves defensively. They struggled defensively for the last quarter of the season. And if they could really rally themselves on the defensive end, and if Donovan Mitchell can continue his narrative of producing in the postseason, it'll be a very interesting matchup set up in the second round between the Celtics and the Cavs. But going on in the first round, finishing off with our last two matchup, we have Bucks, Pacers. Giannis Antetokounmpo is out, which does that necessarily change the series? The Pacers have had the Bucks number this season, and I think that's going to change. Here's why. And I think I'm going to pick the Bucks in six games. I think Giannis will miss a couple of games and potentially come back. But here's my thing on which the Bucks will win. I think you have the best player on the court in Damian Lillard. With the Bucks, he's had a down year, but he's going to have to be that true alpha offensively, which could provide, you know, success, confidence. He's like, I got to be the guy. I got to go ball out, in which he will carry this team offensively for a couple of games. And even if Giannis doesn't come back, I think the Bucks could win this in seven games, which I think would low-key be ideal because then you bring back Giannis healthy in round two, but that's digress. And here's why I'm not picking the Pacers. I think their defense is really bad. Or not bad, it's just subpar. It's not, you know, playoff material, in which you have a team that's hurting offensively. You want to have a good defense to completely shut them down. But they don't have that, in which I could see success from a guy like Bobby Portis potentially coming off the bench and, you know, lighting it up from three like he has this season. Or a guy like Brook Lopez having a good series. I think the role players in Milwaukee will step it up because they know this is like, we lost in the first round last year. We have something to prove. We are a good team. And that's why I think they'll beat the Pacers this year. Moving on to the Knicks and 76ers. This one is the most upset potential, I think you could say, in any of the series so far. And I'm going to live up to that, you know, narrative of an upset. I'm going to pick the Philadelphia 76ers to upseed the number two New York Knicks. There's an upset pretty much every postseason in the first round, and I think this is one of the teams that's vulnerable. And here's why. Jalen Brunson is going to be a beast. He's proven he can be up or down in the playoffs. I would have to take a deeper look at his numbers, but I think he's reliable in the playoffs, and he's been reliable this season as the power horse or the horsepower, the engine of that Knicks offense. And defensively, they're one of the best defensive teams in the league. But why am I picking them? Well, I don't think they'll be able to stop Joel Embiid. And yes, you're like, no. Joel Embiid's not going to be healthy. He's at 70% right now. And even if that's the case, I think he has the confidence of winning that first play-in game, coming in, and he wants to win in New York. You know, Madison Square Garden, that is the place to make a narrative. We saw Trae Young a couple years ago make the same statement and become the villain there in New York. You got Philly versus New York. The two cities are going to go at each other. I'm excited to see it. And I think Joel Embiid is going to try to prove the narrative that he falls off in the playoffs wrong. And I think this is going to be the first true upset that I have in the NBA playoffs. I know I picked the Suns, but I think this one's even more of an upset because it's a two seed falling, who's had a great season. They've had a great season. The Knicks are a good team. Just a bad, bad matchup. They low-key should have lost to the Bulls and got the Pacers because that would be low-key kind of a sweep almost. I would see that as a sweep. But no, they won, and now they have to play the 76ers, which is unfortunate for them. But now as we move to the second round, we have the number one seed Oklahoma City Thunder going up against the four seed Dallas Mavericks. And yes, you know where I'm going with this one. I think the Mavs win this one in another six games. I think this one is very, very closely fought. And here's why I have the Dallas Mavericks winning. Again, better on the defensive end, but it's also, I hate using the trope of too young because I don't feel like that's necessarily true. Now, you could see that with Cleveland last year. The lights were too bright. I think OKC understands where they're at. They're like, okay, we're the one seed. You know, we just win one series, and then we got to move to the second round. And I think SGA low-key has something to prove against Luka. You know, that's been some MVP debate of the two, but I think Luka also knows that as well, in which he's like, you think you're better than me? I'm going to go ball it. And we saw that last year, him carrying the Mavs in that second round against the Suns, especially because their role players were not really performing well on the road. They were good at home. And I think that Dallas could potentially, you know, get a lead in this series, either, you know, a 3-2 lead almost. And that game is back in Dallas, which is a huge advantage. And that's why I think that Dallas will win. And I think it's also important because I think the series could go, if Dallas can win that first game, a lot of pressure is going to be on OKC in that second game. And yes, could they win that game? But then you go to Dallas for two games. Now you're down 3-2 at home. Does that create a little bit of pressure for these young guys? You know, they're playing in front of the home crowd. The home crowd might be hostile in terms of, oh my gosh, we're going to lose, being down, you know, 3-1. It's a game five. It's a crunch game. You know, I technically have them winning that game if it's 3-1. But I think that could also be five games in that case. So I'm very interested for that matchup. And yes, the Dallas Mavericks will advance to the Western Conference Finals. I think that backcourt is just too good for them not to get there with a Luka and Kyrie duo. I think we're underrating their potential offensively and also defensively. PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively, I think they can shut down Chet Holmgren. And we saw the last time this team was truly helpful or healthy, they blew out the Thunder at home. So, or in Dallas. So I think they can keep that potential up. And they should be excited after winning a hard-fought series in LA. Now they're like, okay, now we got this OKC team. Look, we got something special. We got out of the first round. Let's go win another one. And that's what they'll do. Continuing on in the next semifinal round, we have the Suns versus the Nuggets. And I think this one is very similar to the first round for the Nuggets. I think they are just a mismatch offensively. I think the Suns could potentially shoot themselves into a couple of wins and steal a couple. But I'm going to go Nuggets in six in this one. I think they'll just completely overpower the Suns almost on the offensive side. Who do you stick on, Jokic? Who do you stick on, Murray? It's really a contrast to the two teams, and I think the Nuggets will just be more consistent offensively. That's why they'll win in six, and that'll set up a European headlining Western Conference Finals. Going on to the East second round, semifinal rounds, you have the Celtics versus the Cavs. Now look, if the Celtics, you know, live up to what I say in that first round, and they really prove that they are here to stay in terms of they belong in the playoffs, I think they could put some pressure on the Celtics, especially with their front court of Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. It would be very interesting to see how they were to defend the Celtics, though. Who's on KP? Kristaps Porzingis, you know, if he goes out wide, how do you rotate for Tatum and Brown? Who does Donovan Mitchell guard? You know, who does Darius Garland guard? I forgot about him in the first round, too. So I think the Cavs will lose this series in... I think they lose it rather than the Celtics win it. I have the Celtics winning at six, and now I'm not dissing the Celtics. I just think the Cavs will have opportunities in the series because the Celtics have struggled in the clutch, and I think potentially the Cavs have the better clutch player in Donovan Mitchell. So I think they could steal some games late if it gets to that, especially if they're in Cleveland. And so, but I think Boston will handle home court, and that's why they win in six games. Going to the last second round matchup, the Bucks versus the Sixers. This is a coin flip in my mind. If you have both stars truly healthy, I'm going Bucks. But I don't know if that's the case. Right now, you can only trust Embiid being back healthy. And if the Bucks were to get into the second round, which I believe they will, you would expect Giannis to be back. And who wins this series? Oof. Have these teams faced off in the playoffs before? I don't think they have. I could be wrong on that. But I think they've always been on opposite sides of the brackets, always being a 1 or a 3 seed, a 1 or a 2, you know, kind of being on the opposite side of the brackets, never meeting up in that Western Conference Finals. And I'm really scratching my head here because you have Embiid, Giannis. Then you have Lillard and Maxey. Then you have, who's their third guy? You know, you could say for Milwaukee, it's a couple of guys, Portis, Beasley, Lopez. For the Sixers, you could say Hield, Harris, Batum almost. You saw that in that playoff game. He was baller. Does he step up to the plate? And so I'm very much interested to see what role players will succeed in this round. Because whichever one is better, they'll win. I think the winner, this will go full seven. And I'm going to pick the better player in this series. better second player and potential, I'm going with the Bucks to win this series in 7 games. I think Damian Lillard will have his moments. He's going to have that. If my narrative's correct about this entire postseason, Damian Lillard will have the momentum going in the second round, in which he'll be like, okay, now I see the gel. Now we're getting Giannis back. And if they can figure out a true way to play together in terms of let Damian Lillard roll, I think they're going to be dangerous and set up a very interesting Eastern Conference Finals matchup. But going to the West, I think this one is also another unique matchup. The last time they played off, Kyrie hit a historic game-winning shot. Historic. And couldn't they keep that up for seven games? Can they keep that up if you were to go there? I think this one is a true 6 or 7 game series. I think Dallas will have its moments, but I also see Denver taking over. And look, it could go either way. I truly think that. If it's all reliant, in my mind, on how Michael Porter Jr. performs and how PJ Washington performs. If we go back to that Nuggets matchup, I think the Denver Nuggets had, or the Jokic had 15-ish points. Didn't play well, really. But on the other side, the Dallas Mavericks, no one other than Kyrie or Luka made a three. Yeah, you heard that right. No one other than Luka and Kyrie made a three that entire game. So I think that if the Mavericks role players can step up, they could potentially steal a game or two in Denver, in which will really set them up for success, because I think they'll handle business at home. I think with the addition of Kyrie, and if he can really get the engine going, because he wasn't as good in that Denver game as well, there's also room for improvement, but you got to assume Jokic is going to come with a different mentality. If Lively comes back truly healthy, he looks like he's going to play round one, but can he maintain that health going into the Western Conference Finals? The healthier team, I think, wins this one, but I'm assuming healthy teams. The analysis in me, the person that wants to be right in me, wants to pick the Nuggets. But there's something about Dallas this year that is different. Now, am I going to fool's gold into this team? You know, potentially. Potentially. And, you know, saying they're going to win a game 7 in Denver is just bold. Is so bold. And I just don't know if that's possible. Oh my gosh, I can't. I legit can't pick a winner in this series, but I'm going to go Dallas in 7, and here's why. I think this, look, Luka and Jokic are friends. Luka and Nikola are friends. They're buddies. Best of friends. We see these clips all the time on the internet. But there's definitely a chip on their shoulder, not to necessarily Luka to beat Jokic. It's to prove the voters wrong, and hopefully he plays with that narrative. And I think with a Kyrie being mad about Team USA and, you know, PJ Washington trying to get his first postseason action, you know, same thing with Daniel Gafford, I think this team could make a run like this. And, you know, it's scary because Denver is the championship pedigree team. They're defending champs, and I think they could easily, win this series. I think they could. I think the more likelihood is the Denver's to sweep the Mavs and the Mavs sweep the Nuggets. I don't think that's a shock to anybody. I don't think it's a shock. If you had to pick who's winning in 5, you're going Denver. Who's winning in 6, you're picking Denver. Then you have 7, you're like, probably still picking Denver, but I can see Dallas winning in 7. And in this ultimate universe, I think the Mavericks will be just chugging along. If they can continue that end of the season momentum, they were the hottest team. They were the hottest team in the season because they were winning clutch games. They were beating solid teams. And, you know, they needed that for seeding-wise. So I'm going to have the Dallas Mavericks making the NBA Finals for the first time since 2011. First time in Luka Doncic's career. And I think this is going to set the narrative in terms of all-time player for Luka if he can do that. Because it is just one massive thing to defeat a 3-time MVP, he's going to be, and a 1-time champ in Nikola Jokic, and the clearly superior team. If you look back to last year with the Warriors, or not last year, 2 years ago when the Dallas Mavericks made it the last time, their role players did not show up. They didn't have anybody. It was really just Luka. Brunson was okay. I rewatched their game 5 or 4 win, in which it was like they were kind of leading, but their role players stepped up. They were non-existent in the other series, and I think they have more consistent role players, or at least what you can expect from these guys, and they're also just a much better defensive team than that team in 2022, and so that's why I'm going to pick them in that one. Then we go to the easier pick in my mind, the Celtics versus the Bucks. Let's say Giannis is healthy. Let's say Dame is rolling. I still have the Celtics in the series. I think they are the deepest team in the NBA. They have the best starting lineup in the NBA. I think they have a coach that has something to prove. I think they have players that have something to prove. Tatum wants to be the new face of the league, and I think this is his opportunity. I think they win in six. I could see it even being five. I just think they dominate the series because they have their eyes on the prize. And once they get to this point, they could potentially, you know, just dominate the Bucks. I think the Bucks have struggled defensively, and I think the Bucks could, or the Celtics could just expose them that way. And so I'm very much interested to see how the Celtics handle themselves offensively with Kristaps Porzingis, which I think is really the reason why I have them going to the NBA Finals, is because he provides such a unique aspect to him. He doesn't need to do too much. He's a perfect fourth option. That's why he's rolling. That's why the Celtics were so successful this season, and that's why I have them going into the NBA Finals. And this is also why I picked the Dallas Mavericks to make it, because this is one heck of a matchup in the NBA Finals this year. You have the Dallas Mavericks versus the Boston Celtics. Let me go through all of the narratives in this series real quick. All right, so I think the first one is Kyrie in Boston. Kyrie hates Boston. Kyrie low-key did Boston dirty, but he probably didn't like. There's a lot of things that go into that. But Kyrie's the villain of Boston. They hate him. Well, boom, every time he gets the ball. We saw that, you know, earlier this season. This dude is on the second team since Boston, and they're still booing him. They hate him. And that's going to be great for TV. Then you go to the next one, the next narrative in my mind, and you have Luka versus Tatum for the next young face. And they're not even young at this point. They're entering their primes. Who is going to be the face of the league? This matchup will determine it. I'm 1,000% guaranteeing it. I think the NBA low-key wants it to be Tatum. But I think most fans are like, well, Luka's clearly better. And so we'll see that unravel in this series. And then the third one is a Luka versus Kristaps Porzingis. Now look, were they best of the friends? No. Were they the best teammates? Probably not. Are they cordial now? Sure. But I think there's also that edge to it of which we were teammates, we didn't work out. Now we're meeting in the NBA Finals. If Luka wins, that narrative gets pushed all the way aside, right? But if Kristaps wins with the Celtics, that narrative comes back and re-raises. Well, Tatum was able to win one with Kristaps. Luka wasn't. And then the Luka narrative kind of falls off a little bit. So who am I picking in this series? Now, look, I think I made this argument early on, and you're probably like, why didn't you make that argument for the Bucks in terms of the clutchness of the Celtics team? And I don't think it's going to be a factor in that series. I think that's more of a factor in the Cleveland series than it is in the Bucks series. But it'll be a thing in this series. And here's why. The Celtics destroyed the Mavericks earlier this season. They did. And I think it helps that they shot well. Helps that they defended well. The Mavericks, I wouldn't say, and really no one showed up that game. Kyrie struggled. Luka had an alright game for his standards. I'm looking back at it, and I'm like, it wasn't too special. It was close, but they were always trailing by like 10 to 15 points, so it wasn't really necessarily a close ball game. But call me crazy, and this is what every single NBA fan wants, is to see the Celtics lose, besides Celtics fans. And I'm not just saying that because I hate the Celtics. I don't. I don't like Boston sports, but that's a whole other discussion. I'm picking Dallas in six. And here's why. Luka Doncic is the most unguardable player in the NBA, in my opinion. You could put Jokic up there. You could put Jokic on top of him for that. Because I've seen some kryptonite of Luka in terms of certain matchups. But I don't think the Celtics can really stop him. I don't think they have a single guy on that roster that can stop him. And, you know, if you're going to double Luka, they'll give it to Kyrie. You're saying Jrue Holiday can guard Kyrie. I don't think so. I don't think he'll be able to slow him down. He can slow him down, but can he stop him, truthfully? And then you have another area of which you have Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively, who's getting on a roll postseason-wise, hopefully, if they were to make it to this point. And here's also another point. Does Jason Tatum have it in him? You look back at that Warriors series. He didn't play the best in that entire series. Now, am I saying he's a bad player? Absolutely not. A top 10 NBA player? Probably. But the fact of which, with Tatum, is he the go-to guy? And you're like, what, Jackson, are you kidding me? Yes, he is. Is he, though? In terms of his three-point percentage drops in the clutch, so does Jaylen Brown. And I'm like, okay, so who's going to really step up? KP? Jrue Holiday? Al Horford? I don't see anyone on this team besides Tatum really being that guy who steps up in the clutch. Now, you could have clutch moments, clutch threes from certain players, but if there's going to be someone that lifts this team up in such a tight-knit series, I think every game is going to be, I think it'll, Tatum will just not do it. I think he'll just collapse, and it's just kind of his play style. I mean, the way he carries himself in the clutch, and I think with Luka, you're going to have him, and if he's off, the Mavs won't stand a chance, but we haven't necessarily seen that in the postseason. He comes out, and he's balling, averaging like 32 points a game, almost a 9-9, I think it is, or 9-8, 8-9. Doesn't matter. The dude's a baller. And then you have Kyrie with the pedigree in terms of winning in Boston. That sixth game will be in Dallas, which I think is huge in terms of that series. Now, the game deciding one is obviously that game five in Boston, because I think it'll go tied 2-2 with both teams winning at home court. But I think that's Kyrie's almost revenge game. And then they win it in Dallas. So that's my take on that. Look, am I probably going to be wrong? Probably. Is it optimistic of me? Yes. Am I just a Mavs fan? Probably. But I think you could see this happening, though. You can't tell me like that's just not going to happen. You'd be like, that's not likely. That's probably near impossible. But you could see it. If you were to run the NBA playoffs 1,000 times, you could see this playing at least once. And that's what I think is going to happen. So, what do you think? Who do you think is going to win in round one? Will I update this for round two? Probably. Why not? I'm very excited to see these NBA playoffs. I'm excited to catch the score of who won the game. I'll probably post the score here or in the comments of whoever won that game. Doesn't really matter. I still have the OKC Thunder winning that series. But thank you for watching. If you made it this far, let me know in the comments below. Call me a knucklehead. Call me a doofus. I'm here for the content, baby. I'm here for the picks. I just want to get these in to really just have bragging rights when I'm right. So anyways, adios. Thank you for listening. Make sure to subscribe, because it really helps me. It really makes me. And like, if you like this, then I know you like it, and I'll post more of it. Anyways, see you.